Thank you, Wes. We won't go that far. Thank you very much, Wes. That's beautiful. Okay, let's open the scriptures, if you will, to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. There's just so many things going on in the world. I don't think it's prophetic. I think the day is going to become when to love as Christ loved us, it's going to be what this world sees very little love and it's going to need. I was watching on the History Channel Decoding the Bible. I don't know if you've ever saw that section. And as I watched it, I was just amazed. And I smiled and I thought, you know, they don't need to go be looking for a code for what they're seeing. It's right there in Revelation, Zechariah, Jeremiah, Isaiah. Why are you looking for a code? It isn't in code. It's right there. Prayer. Please continue to be in prayer for little Amber at Texas State, right down the road from University of Texas. And she needs our prayers. And continue to be in prayer. Talk to Mickey Bell today. He needs your prayers. His mom needs your prayers. And so please be in prayer for Mickey. And be in prayer for Nancy Becker. Let's see. And we need to be in prayer for the family. Yes. And his name was
Hal.
Yes.
And he did survive the surgery.
Survived the surgery.
But they found out like his heart is only something like 15%.
15%. They found that out. He didn't know that.
Well, I don't think he knew it was that bad.
Bad, yeah.
He knew it was bad. So, but he did make it through the surgery.
Okay. That part's good. So we'll see what God is. What God is. Been doing in store. Any other prayer? Okay, yes, sir.
Dick's niece, Janet.
Okay, we need to be in prayer. His niece. Just be in prayer for each other. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the scriptures. We thank you, Father, that your Spirit has taken us into the upper room and preserved an account of those things said in the upper room that you would have us to know for our edification. Pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that you would have us to see tonight. Father, we do pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Verse 34, a new commandment I give to you. There are a multitude of Christians, in spite of this new commandment, who still prefer to live by the Mosaic Law. Not just the Ten Commandments, but the Mosaic Law. And when you do that, you're weighted down with laws, and you're weighted down with responsibilities. One of the key responsibilities is that you have to know them. And there are people who study the Bible just to know all the things God wants us to do. And they want to know it all. And boy, if they don't know it all, that's why something's wrong in their life. It's because they don't know something. And if they know more doctrine, they'll be able to apply it and be able to solve those problems. And they just weigh themselves down with more and more rules and laws and knowledge and all of these types of things, and they're constantly breaking them. So they got to learn more to figure out why they're breaking them. And if I know more, I won't break them. And, of course, the problem there is the more you learn, the more you break, because there's more that you got to break now. And so it's just a never-ending burden for them. And there are those who pride themselves that they don't commit any of these sins. And especially the big ones, they would never think of adultery or fornication. But they, while sitting there, they commit arrogance and pride, and that makes them guilty as adulterers and liars. It's just amazing when you play the game with God by rules, by law. And by contrast, the Lord didn't give us hundreds of commands to guide us through the day. And we just have so many things that we come across in the day, in our relationships with one another, to form our harmonious unity in the body of Christ. He didn't weigh us down. Let's start off tonight with looking at Matthew 11, please. Matthew 11. Verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the religious crowd. He's talking to those who are working hard for God. And they're weary. They're heavy laden. Ideal understanding of Isaiah 28. So the ideal understanding of Isaiah 28, and give rest to the weary. Who are the weary? The weary were those who became weary by do and do, rule on rule, little here and little there. They were weary. Here he says, who are heavy or weary and heavy laden. And I, Jesus Christ, will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And again, it's one of the things that we saw a couple weeks ago in dealing with command. Why does he call it a yoke? It's not a yoke. But he gives that. Those of you that just have to have a command, you have to work, you have to have all of this, okay, here's my yoke then. It's like we saw a couple weeks ago and we looked up, those of you that just got to work, okay, here's my work. Trust me. That's my work. Just trust the one God sent. If you've just got to think that way, then here it is. And religious people do. Okay, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. And you shall find rest for your souls. So you can choose. I prefer thousands of commands. And I prefer to live my life learning them, writing them down, compiling them, checking the list, be sure I'm doing them, watch who's not doing them, separate from those not doing them, all this kind of burden, or I like the idea of just one. That's a good idea. I like that. And it's up to each person what they want to do. Now, one of the most difficult things for man to do. Christ said, you shall find rest for your souls. One of the most difficult things for a multitude of people to do is rest. Just, it is the most, and a lot of people, oh man, I can do it. Now try it. See if you can just lie out on a summer day and do nothing. Now some of us can, but some of us can't. Well, I gotta have my computer with me, or I gotta have the phone with me, or after 5 minutes. Well, that was good. Now, what are we gonna do? We can't rest. We've got to be doing. And where does that come from? That's the performance trap. We've got to perform. Man desires to earn what he gets, and when he does not earn it, he feels guilty, unworthy, and rebels and gives up. All kinds of things happen. And then verse 30, For my yoke is easy, my load is light. Now, what is his yoke and his load? His yoke is faith. His load is love. And it's that simple. That's all that he gives us. It's not a heavy burden. Look with me, if you will, at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Near the end of your Bibles. We're going to be doing work in 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. And let's just read verses 1 through 3 together. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One, we're studying the Gospel of Christ on Sunday morning, that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. Turn back to chapter 3, verse 22. Whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments. And we do the things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment. Now, verse 22, it's plural. Verse 23, it's singular. However, in verse 23, it's going to be in two parts, or plural. That we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He has commanded us. That's His commandment, to love. So this is the likeness of His load. Jesus Christ does not burden us down, but gave us a new commandment that will guide our entire lives in every area. We don't need a commandment. We don't need a whole long list of rules how to live with husband and wife, parent and children, siblings, church, work, and all the rest of it. He's given us one that will guide. That's what's so remarkable. It's so remarkable. One, to love one another as I have loved you. Dealing with your husband, dealing with your wife, get into all of this stuff. Okay, man's got to understand a woman. Well, that's interesting, because she's different at different times of the month. She's different at different times in her life. She changes every 10 years. Her body changes. Things go on. So you got to just keep up on all of it. If you love your children, they're always changing. They're always changing. They're as fickle as they can be. First they want this, then they want that. They're teenagers, and then they're late teenagers, and then they're... And we got to constantly keep reading, well, how am I going to love them today? How am I going to... No. He's removed all that kind of stuff. You love them as I have loved you. You walk in the Spirit, and He guides. This is an unbelievable thing that we have, people. We don't need to sit down and do a long, long study what happens to men at various stages of their life, and women various stages in their life, and children various stages in their life. All of this stuff going on. Men from Mars, men from Jupiter, or whatever all that stuff is. And we got to figure it all out, and we got to remember all of that stuff. I can't do it. Can't even keep up with my changes. How am I going to keep up with everybody else's? Christ said, here it is, very simple. You love one another as I have loved you. That's what every woman needs. That's what every man needs. That's what every child needs. That's what every young person needs. Is to be loved as Christ loved you. What does my wife need today? What does my husband need today? What does my mother need today? My children need today? My father need... Be loved as Christ loved you, people. It's that simple. That's what they need. Oh, it can't be just one thing. It just can't be that. It's got to be. It's a lot more complicated than that. Yeah, you can make it complicated. Go back to your law. And you go back to your law, and now you got to figure it all out. You really got to work when you do it by law. Or you can make it very simple. Very simple. Love them as Christ loved you. That's what everyone needs. So Jesus Christ did not burden us down, gave us a new commandment that will guide every area of our life, every relationship of our life. And that one commandment, which Jesus Christ calls a new commandment, is simply to love one another as He loved us. If you have some idea of what a commandment is, now let's take a quick look at new. Let's take a quick look at new. Point one, new as opposed to the old. The old is the Mosaic Law. The old is now replaced by one new commandment. How y'all doing tonight? Come on in. No, I like everybody to know y'all. Come on in. Yeah, let them in here at the table. We got room. Yeah. I'd have to leave all your coats up.
It's
all right. We're looking at, we've studied the new commandment, and we've looked at what a commandment is. Now we're looking at the word new. And the first thing we want to note is new as opposed to old. The Mosaic Law is the old. It is now replaced by one new commandment. The old commandment, the Mosaic Law commandment. Please write down in your mind, because you want to have it down for a lot of our study. And let's look at Leviticus 19:18. Leviticus 19:18. That was a good year. I wasn't there. Leviticus 19:18.
While we're turning there, is it possible for somebody to think that just because this is a commandment that they think they can do it?
Yes, it's possible, but they can't do it. Yes. Yes. And we're going to cover that. And I keep throwing it in. The only way we can do this is in the power of the Spirit. Yeah. In fact, we're going to cover, you can't keep the law.
Or this one.
You can't, I mean this commandment.
Yes.
You can't keep the commandment.
Yes.
You cannot, we might as well just say it, but it's coming up later. You do not make a decision to love as Christ loved. That is the new commandment. But you don't make a decision to do that. What you and I make a decision to do is to walk by faith in the Spirit. So we want to love as Christ loved. We cannot decide to do that. Even if you decide to do that, you can't do it. Even if you really, we used to tell our mother, really sorry. If you really want to do it, you can't do it. You just can't do it. And you just can't do it. No matter how you try. No matter how you draw a picture of what that must look like. People, there's the difficulty of it. Listen to me, please. To think that I can do it means that I can understand it. Means that I can perceive what that is. People, it changes in every circumstance. What your husband, what your wife, what your children, what your friend, what everyone needs at any given moment changes. Love is kind. What is kindness? I can't answer that question. Kindness is what is needed at any given moment. And it's going to be different all the time. So, it's like righteousness. Oh, I know what righteousness is, and I'll be righteous. No, we don't. Righteousness is not just the absence of something, the absence of sin. Righteousness is the presence of something. And the same thing with this love. Oh, I can figure out what this is because I'm human and I know what humans think about love. And there I go, flesh. People, you cannot even understand. You cannot visualize this love. So, yes, He's given us a commandment, but you can't do it. You don't make a decision to love as Christ loved. You make a decision to walk in the power of the Spirit, and the Spirit pours this love in. Okay, Leviticus chapter 19, and we want to read verse 18. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Wow, that's powerful. See? Now, coming off of what we just said, you can do that. The unbeliever can do this. The unbeliever can do the old command to just love one another as you love yourself. So if you don't like yourself one day, you don't have to like people. How you deal with yourself, you can do that because that's our love. But people, you cannot love as Christ loved. You cannot do it. So here, do not take the vengeance, but love your neighbor as yourself. Now point two. Point one, new as opposed to the old. Point two, temporally new. Temporally new. That is, new in the sense of something not previously present. New in the sense of something not previously present. Unknown before this time. Now, just stay with me a minute. Not the same commandment as the old. It's new in the sense of something not previously present. Got a question for you, having said that. Does that mean that in the Old Testament they did not love by the Holy Spirit? No, they did. That's the only way you could love. But what is new that was not in the Old Testament is that God has become man and walked on the earth. And to love as that man did has never happened before because he hasn't been here before. That's the newness of this. So point two, temporally new. New in a sense of something not previously present. And the reason this was not previously present, because Jesus Christ had not walked on the face of the earth. Point three. New in quality. New in quality. The Greek word refers to something new, the Greek word for new, something new in character, new in species, new in its very nature. People, you take the nature of the old command, the old love, the love commanded in the Mosaic Law. This is completely new in character. This is something that is new in quality that they never knew by the law. Okay, let's study. Let's take a few points now on the new commandment as per our verse in John, not in Leviticus. One. It is new in origin. It is new in origin. This command is given by Jesus Christ in contrast to Moses. What came through Moses, the Mosaic Law. What comes through Christ, the new commandment. A new commandment I give to you. Now this is Jesus Christ speaking to the disciples. But He's also speaking to the church. He is speaking to us. He is giving to them something totally new. Giving in the sense of imposing a new commandment upon them. A commandment that they must do, and we must do. Giving something to their charge. The word didyme here means to give something in their charge. That is something in the responsibility. Giving so as to entrust with something extremely invaluable. People, the only place the world is going to see His love is in a born-again believer walking in the Spirit, loving as Christ loved. It's the only time the world is going to see it. We can look up into the heavens and we can see many aspects of the creating God. We can learn a lot about God from that. We can look at nature. We can look at the very structure of the human body. I love when Whittaker Chambers first became God conscious. He was a grown man. He was a grown man and had not reached God consciousness yet. And one of the most beautiful, emotional stories and passages in the book Witness is he's sitting in his apartment in Baltimore, Maryland. And he said, "My eyes fell on the convolutions of my little baby's child in high chair's ears." And he said, "The thought came into my mind that no mere chance, that ear did not come about by mere chance." He said, "I had to quit thinking that way because to continue that thought, I would have had to come to the conclusion there was a creator and a creator with design." And he said, "I tried to banish that thought from my head immediately." And then he said, "Little did I realize until later that that's when the finger of God touched my forehead." So he first became God conscious. But that's creation. That's the proof of God. What we're talking about is something far different than that. We're talking about something that human beings know, and that's love. We know when we're loved. A child knows. A child knows when the mother and dad really love them and really don't. We're talking human love here. But a child knows. A lot of times we're fooled because we want love, but we know when our parents love, not love, and this person loves, not loved. Children have a way of knowing this adult really cares. So it's almost instinct. It's really, really interesting to watch. Love is something we know when it touches us. And this is a spectacular love of Christ. And the only place that they're going to see it, people, is when you and I love them with this kind of love. Doesn't mean they're going to respond to the gospel necessarily, but it's going to be the only time that they're going to see this love. Second major point, a new commandment I give to you, that you shall love one another. The old law, the Mosaic law, given to the Israelites, you're loving your neighbor. The new commandment is given to a new race. See, the old commandment was given to a new race too. It's given to the race of the Jews. But Jesus is now giving a new commandment to a new spiritual creation. There's a new spiritual creation. And this is what you have to realize that you are. A new spiritual creation. Who am I? What am I? What's it all about, Alfie? Let me tell you what it's about. It's about you being a new spiritual creation. Who am I? That's who you are. That's describing who and what you are. You're not where you work. I'm a Caucasian. I'm this. I'm that. I'm a white male. On and on and on. No. You are a new spiritual creation. I don't suggest you write that down on applications. They might want you won't get the job or you won't get the loan. But it's important that you know this every minute of your life. I am a new spiritual creation. That's who and what you and I are. A new spiritual species that has never existed before on earth. This has never existed, but now exists in the church. This never existed before. And as we've seen, Jesus Christ must depart. He's not even here. He must depart from earth before this can even happen. With Jesus Christ gone from the earth, how are the people going to know God's love? He's gone. See, you want to know Jesus Christ's love? Well, there He is right over there. Well, I understand he's in Jerusalem. I understand he's in Galilee. I understand he hangs out over at Lazarus and Mary's house a lot. And Martha's. Might want to go over there. He's gone. He's gone. And the only place the world can go to find it is when a believer is filled with the Holy Spirit. This is why the world is not too impressed with Christianity, because they look around and you know what they say? They're no different than we are. They're no different than we are. They abandon, they judge, they malign, they separate, they condemn. We do that. If a person were to forgive 70 times 7 a day, the world would call them fools and foolish and a lot of... They're not used to that. They don't see that. Because they don't see the love of Christ. They don't know what it really looks like. They see the law. That doesn't attract anyone to Christianity. It doesn't attract them to Christianity at all. Why do you think America's in the mess that it's in? Why do you think that the Muslim religions are fastest growing in the world? I was going to bring an article. I may read it. I may take our time and read some of it. But in the German paper, long, really good article, and advising, and it's happening, Germans to leave Germany now. The young Germans, get out of Germany, go to Australia or Newfoundland. Because the Muslims are going to take over Germany and it'll be different. You won't know this country by 2020. Get out now. And people leaving Germany is as great as the number coming into Germany now. The number of Muslims coming in are equal by the number of Germans leaving. And this thing is going to go on and on and on. But why are people attracted to that? Because on the surface, it sounds so appealing. And then you look at Christians who, while more of that's going on, the more Christians are judging one another and shooting one another and fighting with one another, maligning one another. And all. Well, take your pick. The Muslims are more united to kill Christians and Jews than Christians are to love as Christ loved us. That's a cold, hard fact of life. They're more joined to do what the whole Quran is about than Christians are to do one simple command. Not a whole lot, one. Love is Christ's love. And the body of Christ can't do it. So the world doesn't see it. But Jesus Christ has departed. And the only place they are going to see it is when you and I as Christians walking in the power of the Spirit. This is the only time that they're going to see it. And again, I got to emphasize the point at this point here. We cannot produce this love. We cannot produce this love in the flesh. Christians strive really hard to live the Christian life and be spiritual or be good, go to church and all this kind of thing and sing and give and on. But you let somebody cross it. You let somebody do this and they're ready to judge and separate and malign and divide. People, you can't produce this love. No matter how much you want to. No matter how much. A lot of Christians, you know what they confuse spiritual love for? This fuzzy little feeling they get, oh, I love the Lord. I just love Jesus. I just really love Him. And I just feel so good in loving Him. That little fuzzy feeling. People, spiritual love is not a fuzzy feeling. I'm sorry. It's not a fuzzy feeling. You save that for your romance. But this demands supernatural power. The flesh cannot generate it. No matter how much the flesh wants to generate it, it can't do it. It demands supernatural power. It demands the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you why, so you don't miss it. We'll see it later, but just tell you right now why. Because that's how Christ loved. That's how the humanity of Jesus Christ loved people. He didn't generate it from His body either. He got this love from the Holy Spirit. The humanity of Christ loved as Christ loved because of the Holy Spirit. That's how He did it. And now, people, you and I can do it. somewhere later on we'll see, if Jesus Christ loved out of his deity, the God-man, if he loved out of his deity, could you and I do that?
No.
No, we're not deity. Let's go a little further. If Jesus Christ loved out of his perfect humanity, his sinless perfection, could we do that?
No.
Can't do that either.
But he could.
He could.
He could.
No, but I'm just saying, if that's how he depended on it, was his sinless perfection, he couldn't love this way. He needed the Holy Spirit. You and I can do it. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit. We have that same Holy Spirit he had. Same Holy Spirit. So we can do it. Had he loved out of his deity, we couldn't do it. Had he loved out of his perfect humanity, we couldn't do it. He loved out of the power of the Spirit, we can do it. We can love just as he loved. Don't forget that. Just as. Not a little different, but just as. So it's very important for us to know, well, how did he do that? That's what we all ask. Man, you lost 50 pounds. How did you do that? You made $1 million. How did you do that? You're successful. How did you do that? How did you love that way, Jesus Christ? By the power of the Spirit, and you've got him. Oh, I can do it.
But he didn't have no sin nature either.
But even in his perfection, he didn't love this way.
I understand that.
He did it by the power of the Spirit.
But he didn't have no sin nature.
No. But he did, even in that perfect body, mm-hmm, without a sin nature, had he loved from that, then we couldn't do it. We couldn't do it. He had to depend on the Holy Spirit for this love. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And now we can do it. No one has an excuse for not loving as Christ loved, because we have that same supernatural power that he did. Yes?
How does the Holy Spirit-driven love in the Old Testament differ from the Holy Spirit-driven love in the New Testament?
Good question. The difference being, as far as where we are in a new commandment, the person of Jesus Christ, a person of Jesus Christ was not there. When a believer in the Old Testament was empowered, they would ever dwell, but empowered by the Holy Spirit, they loved supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. But it didn't have a, what we'll call a standard, like as I did. It did not have that standard. So that now we all point to Jesus Christ. They would, Zerubbabel, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit. That's everything that we would do, even love. So they would love by the power of the Spirit, yes. But it was not, they could not relate that to any pattern that we can in the pattern of Christ. The pattern of Jesus Christ. That's what's unique about the church age. So it's wonderfully unique about it. Now, at the...
You see, but not everybody in the Old Testament was empowered by the Holy Spirit, correct?
Every believer could have the Holy Spirit.
Every believer.
But they could lose it.
Every believer of what?
Of the Messiah.
Okay, but that's in the Old Testament.
Yes, that's what I said. Every believer of the Messiah could have the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. If they did anything that was eternal in nature, they did it by the power of the Spirit, the empowering of the Spirit. They could lose it.
Now, are you talking about believers before Christ walked
yes,
on earth?
Yes, yes. Believers in the coming Messiah.
In the coming Messiah.
Yes.
Okay.
And we believe in the one that's already come. That's why if you went into stage, they believed, just like in our study of the Gospel of Promise, goes back to the promise in Genesis. What do they believe in? They believe he promised the coming of the Messiah. The harmony between God and man. And then there would be more revelation and more revelation given about him. And then the nation was formed. And then now we have the nation. Let's see how this is going to look. We have, first of all, coming just in the sense of Gentiles, we have the coming of the promise. The promise of a coming Messiah. Coming of the one who would take care of the sins and bring harmony between man and God. Then he brought about a race. And now he's narrowing in on fulfilling that promise. It's going to come through this race. And then he came through a tribe, narrowing it down even more. And then he narrowed it down to a family. And at that point, we have the incarnation. So it goes like this. But all the way back to here, they had the promise of the gospel and of the coming Messiah. And with each one of these, more revelation being given. We now know that he's going to come through this race. Then he's going to come from this tribe. Then he's going to come from this family, David. And here he is. And then we go on this direction, coming out from that in the church age, just being the church age on this side. In the millennium. See, in the millennium, what are the Jews going to live under in the millennium? Here's the tribulation. So here's the millennium. And they're going to have, out of Jeremiah, they're going to have the new covenant. New covenant to Israel. And that new covenant is going to be based on the fact that their king, Jesus Christ, is sitting right there, and they will love as he loved then. Up to this point, the love came from the power of the Holy Spirit. It was love from God, God's love. Here we come down to a person, the person of Jesus Christ. Does that help a little bit? Okay. Because now they have a standard. They can look. This is how Jesus Christ loved. Okay. Next. New in immediate source. New in immediate source. A new commandment I give to you, that you shall love one another. New in its immediate source. And what is the source of this love? The new spiritual creation. You and I. See, the old commandment love came from what? It became from a Jew. Any Jew. Unbeliever, believer. You love your neighbor as yourself. Let's note a few things under immediate source. One, this new commandment is commanded to a new creation. A spiritual creation from which this love will flow. That's why I call it spiritual love. Just right off, not to be clever or cute, but just offer the concept of spiritual gifts. And the fact that this comes from a new spiritual creature, depending on the Holy Spirit, spiritual love. The Mosaic Law was given to a member of a new race, the Jews. But this new commandment is addressed to a new spiritual creation. And now a new love is on planet Earth that has never been there before. Love from a spiritual creation that has never been here before, that's you. Loving as never had been before, as Christ loved. And finally, it has a new impact, a new spiritual impact. So this love flows out from a new spiritual creation, from the Holy Spirit, and it has spiritual impact. What does human love have? Human love, people, has a human impact. Mother and father love their children. Husband and wife love each other. That has a temporal impact. That has an earth impact. God, I hope every husband loves his wife. I hope every wife loves her husband, even though I know that isn't true, unfortunately. I hope every parent loves their children, but I know that's not true. And do I babble and say every child loves their parent? But it has a human impact. What we're talking about has a spiritual impact. That's what's real. The spiritual. That's where we want to deal with. Point two. Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Spiritual love is much like the book of Revelation. It's just going to take us all over the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. This is what we're dealing with a new spiritual creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, let's just read the flow. Go to verse 16, and let's read it now. 5:16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. And boy, if we would live that way, my goodness, there goes beauty and ugly, fat and thin, rich and poor, all these kinds of things. Therefore, now, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him no longer. He's departed. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. So, why is a new commandment? Why do we have the new commandment? Why is it so compelling? Why is this new commandment so compelling on us, people? Look at verse 14, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. For the love of Christ controls us. But before that happened, look at your participle. Having concluded. So, what he's getting ready to say happened before you're compelled or controlled by the love of Christ. That doesn't just happen. Look what he says. For the love of Christ controls us. Having, before it did, concluded this. That one died for me. That one died for all. Therefore, all died. I don't think this comes across to us as dramatic. It certainly, I know it led me to the Lord and salvation. I don't know if it did you or not, but the pastor that I used to go and visit in Miami, and the Haitian pastor in the Haitian church, when he was in Haiti as a little boy, and he first heard the gospel. And the lady missionary was talking about how Jesus had died for him. It made an unbelievable impact because he had lost, I forgot how many, 4 or 5 siblings to voodoo. In voodoo, you die. And here was somebody who died for him, so he doesn't have to. That just struck him. Because he was very much involved in voodoo, that killed members of his family and especially 4 or 5 siblings. And that's the way he thought it was done. And his whole idea of somebody died for him, that's what caused him to go and talk to the missionary in private. I need to know more. What do you mean by that? And that's what drew him to love, to Christ. And that's what this passage actually means in 14. For the love of Christ. Now, if we wanted to just read, now controls me. Why? Having concluded this. This is how powerful this love is. That one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves. That tells you a lot about this love. No longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. I am so compelled by that kind of love that it controls me. I want to love that way. That's what Paul is here saying in this passage. Major point 3. The old commandment from the Mosaic Law commanded love from the energy of the flesh. For the flesh. Love thy neighbor, Jew. Jesus Christ's new commandment has new direction. Love toward other spiritual creatures. All other spiritual creatures. Now, love one another as I have loved you. One another is another of the same kind. There are 2 Greek words for another. One says another of the same kind, another of a different kind. When it says one another of the same kind, this means other believers. So, what happens in your mind? Sometimes when I teach this, people say, well, wait a minute, aren't we to love the unbeliever? why are you emphasizing, and why did he emphasize love one another? Okay, first of all, yes. Yes, we are to love the unbeliever, and guess what? You will love the unbeliever when you're in the power of the Holy Spirit. But point two, Jesus Christ addresses the new commandment toward one another, another of the same kind, another believer. I didn't do this. He did. And therefore, point three, you will discover in your life that will often be much more difficult to love a believer than an unbeliever. People, we don't expect anything of a believer, unbeliever. Unbeliever cheats you, cons you, does you wrong, fails, hurts somebody. They're an unbeliever. You let a believer in the church do you wrong, and watch what happens. And he's a believer, and she's a believer. Like, they can't do that. They're not supposed to do that. It's going to be demand much more in our lives to love a believer who's done you wrong, where you want to have vengeance. Remember the Leviticus passage? No vengeance. You're going to want to have vengeance. You're going to be angry. You're going to want to do a separate, throw them out, kick them out. All these kinds of things. Why? Because they're believers. And the believers just can't get away with this. Unbelievers can get away with it, but not believers. This is why a lot of times we're not going to want to love someone as Christ loved. We're not going to want to be in the Spirit. We're going to want to deal with them by law, justice, righteousness. We're going to want to get even. I have a good friend. She loves to say every now and then, "Now, God, I'll be right back. I'll be right back. I got to go take care of this." And she talks to God, "I'll be right back." And then, I'm back. And I'm going to trust your Spirit now, and I'll put it back in your power since I really messed it up. See? So, sometimes people, we're just not going to want to walk in the Spirit and treat them in this love. They don't deserve love. What's the second thing about love, spiritual love? Love is kind. They don't deserve kindness. They do not deserve that. They deserve a punch in the nose. And then I'll be kind and get them something to stop the bleeding. No. That's why I'm telling you, this new commandment is going to be much more difficult. It commands that we love every other spiritual creature. Okay, Roman numeral 3. This commandment is new in reference to direction. New direction. And that's what we were just talking about, that you love one another. Point one, direction of the love according to the old law, the Mosaic law, love your neighbor. In other words, love other Jews, believer or unbeliever, it didn't matter. Direction of love according to the new commandment, every other new spiritual creature. Before we leave, turn with me back to Leviticus 19 a moment. Let's go back there and look at something. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17. Okay, Leviticus 19:17, you shall not hate your fellow countrymen in your heart. This is a reference to any other Jew, any member of the nation of Israel, believer, unbeliever, good or bad. You shall not hate him. You may surely reprove your neighbor, but shall not incur sin because of him. You may take some action, but you can't do it in the vengeance and hate. Verse 18, you shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people. Notice this love is in contrast to hate. This love of the law is in contrast to vengeance. Instead of striking out at a person, instead of action, of harm. You'd be surprised how many people ruin their lives and their souls out of an inward hate towards someone in life. A lot of people, you know what a lot of people call Christian love, impersonal love, all of this? It's love by law. What you have with the Soul Command is love by law. People, if you hit somebody, you're going to get in trouble, right? They're going to sue you. That's an offense. A lot of people love by law. Well, you just ought to be glad I don't punch you in the nose. That's not love. But that's what a lot of people call it. Give it titles like impersonal love or something. All those kind of things are love by law. What law will and will not allow. Love of the Mosaic Law is not to do these things. And that's how a lot of Christians love. They call it love by not striking out at you, getting even with you, seeking vengeance with you. People, that's not spiritual love. That's love by law. You can't do those things. Don't call it love. You can't do them. That's why it's love by law. What law will allow and not allow. Note the phrase, sons of your people. Reference to any member of the nation. Be they unbeliever, believer, and all these kind of things. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Your neighbor refers to another Israelite, believer or unbeliever. Doesn't matter. You're to love them according to this law, as you love yourself. You're going to treat them as you treat yourself. This is how you're going to treat them. Okay, we have some more things to take a look at under new direction, but we'll pick this up next Wednesday night. Good class tonight. I like it when you ask questions. It doesn't happen a whole lot. I talked to John, and, well, they're always asking questions. And I told him, well, you're just not good teachers, I am. And if we know that's not true. And so I do appreciate interaction and questions. Let's close in a word of prayer. We love you, Father, because you first loved us. You sought us. You sent your Son seeking us. You gave your Spirit out of your love. And our love is but a response to your love. Our love is but a response to all your gracious provision of your Spirit. Things that you have supplied us with. How could we not love you when we comprehend the love that you have for us? I pray, Father, you'll take the things that we've seen, let them bear fruit in our own souls, in our own lives, in our marriages, relationships, in our lives. That angels, as well as humans, can see our Jesus Christ's love. Oftentimes, Father, even the people we are loving toward in the power of your Spirit, they don't even appreciate it. They don't even know what's going on. But angels do. And you do. And we will. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name.